So I'm a sex and love addict. My name is Jake, and grateful to be here. I'm recording this share for the SLAA Intergroup website. If you are ever traveling or it's 3 a.m. and you need a meeting, there are a bunch of speaker recordings at slaalosangeles.org/audio. And please consider sharing your own recording, like record yourself speaking for 20 minutes and send it in to audio@slaalosangeles.org. And you could help somebody on the other side of the world, because people all across the world are coming to the Los Angeles Intergroup website and checking out our recordings. Grateful to be asked to share. I'm 9 years sober in this program. I came into this program because I couldn't get out of a relationship that was killing me. I kept going back to the same relationship over and over again. I got dumped 14 times in 10 months, and I just kept coming back and jumping in the same wood chipper over and over again. I wanted to kill myself. I couldn't get away from it. And I found relief in this program. I'm in a number of other programs, 16 years sober in AA, 14 years in Al-Anon. I'm in DA 14 years. None of the other programs could help. None of the other programs could do it. I was stuck on the same person. Over the course of my life, I made sex the source of my self-worth. I made validation, compliments, people liking me the source of my self-worth. I molded my identity around what I thought other people wanted me to be. And in this program, I found relief from that through going through withdrawal and working the steps in this program. I learned to derive my self-worth from my relationship with myself and my relationship with God. I found out who I really was. I found out what my hobbies are. And I became the person that I was always hiding from others because I thought that they wouldn't like. And, you know, sometimes people don't like the person that I actually am. And that's okay. Now I know that not everyone needs to like me. When I came in, I wanted to have every single person like me. Every single person want to sleep with me. Be the most famous and rich person in the world. And honestly, that sounds pretty inconvenient. The life I have today as a result of Sex and Love Addicts Anonymous is effing phenomenal, and I'm super grateful for it. I'm married. I've been married since 2 Aprils ago. We had a baby a year ago. My wife is also in 12 steps, similar amount of time as I. And we have, we're in the program Recovering Couples Anonymous together. I've learned how to use boundaries in my business, so that I don't lose clients from trying to make best friends with them. At my wedding, there were all these different people from all the different hobbies that I had started engaging in as a result of working this program. All these friends that I'd made over the years that I was in this program showing up as my authentic self. The cash and prizes is not getting married and having a baby. The cash and prizes is meeting myself for the first time and stopping blocking myself from existing. I've worked some of the steps in the anorexia pamphlets as well. I have anorexia, and I strongly recommend that everybody check out those pamphlets. So, top lines. I don't have top lines written down. I have my bottom lines written down, and I stay off them. I don't have like set top lines that I try to hit every week. But, you know, my understanding of this program, bottom lines or not, is that we're supposed to engage in sober behavior. It's really interesting when you're going through withdrawal. Like sometimes my sponsees have, you can't hug someone, or you can't hug a woman, or you can't hug a person for the next couple weeks, and that's going to be part of your withdrawal bottom line so that you lose that validation. Well, that same sponsee could be like, well, I'm not allowed to hug people, so I'm going to convince everyone that we should touch butts when we meet. I'm gonna like make a joke out of it, and then we're just gonna touch butts every time we meet each other. Like, there's always a way to dance around your bottom lines, right? Like, I'm not allowed to be in withdrawal. Like, I might not be allowed to be in an enclosed space with somebody, or give a person a ride, have them be in the same car as me. So I'll like talk to them alone, but in a big open area. The idea of you can always find a loophole in your bottom lines. It's about leaning towards sober behavior. So those are the top lines. What are the sober behavior things that I can engage in? why would I engage in these things? Why would I go towards top lines? If I'm in top lines, I'm going to learn to love myself. I'm going to learn self-care. I'm going to take care of myself. I'm going to build my self-esteem. I'm going to learn how to be the source of my own self-worth if I engage in my top lines. It's combating anorexia. If any of you are anorexic, like myself in the SLAA sense, you're going to combat it by engaging in top lines. I've had anorexic sponsees who I give them the top lines of, you must either make plans with a friend or make plans with yourself and go do something fun outside of the house once a week. That's really a top line for most of us, but during withdrawal, that was a bottom line for someone. Engaging in self-care is a top line. What does self-care mean? Well, hey, how about going to the doctor, going to the dentist? When was the last time you went for a physical? I rarely go. I have to force myself to go. I would rather avoid it. You know, I go to the dentist like once a year. He told me to buy a water pick, so I bought one. I still haven't used it. It's been for like 3 months in my bathroom, this water pick. But hey, I bought the water pick. He'd been telling me to buy a water pick for like 3 or 4 years. I don't want to take care of myself. Why? Because my diseased self doesn't love myself, doesn't believe that I deserve love, doesn't believe that I deserve care. So when I take the painful step of taking my medicine and engaging in a top line, I am altering that mental pathway. Let me tell you one top line I've done that has changed my life. Every time my brain says, you suck, I out loud contradict it. So, and this is like at the very core of addiction, right? I'm going to talk about food for a second, but think about sex and love if you want, because it's the same thing. A pattern I have is go to the fridge in the middle of the night and eat a peanut butter cup that's in the freezer. And I eat them and I'll eat a couple, and then my brain will go, you're a piece of crap. Look at you eating all this stuff in the middle of the night. You don't need to do that. Why would you do that? You suck. And guess what? When my brain thinks that, I eat more peanut butter cups to try to make up for it. And all of a sudden, I found that if I'm in the middle of eating this peanut butter cup and I go, you know what? I deserve a snack. I'm a good person and I like me and I deserve a snack. And I have a little peanut butter cup. All of a sudden, I found that the drive to keep eating more of them goes away. It's not driving me to punish myself. So I'm talking about sex and love addiction, right? There's all sorts of patterns that we have that are like that peanut butter cup, whether it's going back to the same person or whatever. My wife and I were working our steps in this couples program, and I sleep late, so she has to do more work, so I feel like crap, so I act out by staying up too late, and then staying up too late makes her have to do more work, so then I feel guilty, so then I do it again. It's a cycle of shame, right? And that's at the very base of our addiction. How do we get rid of that cycle of shame? By getting into our top lines. So, you know, one of my top lines is having male friends. Over 9 years in this program, I had to work my ass off to maintain male friendships because I don't want to be seen. I don't want you guys to see me unless I'm making a joke. I don't want you guys to see me unless I'm performing. And I certainly don't want friends that know me for who I am. Before I got sober in this program, I was constantly performing and also constantly separating myself from everyone else. Top lines is showing up and letting somebody see me, getting lunch with a friend. So whenever I catch myself not having socialized for a little while, I'll start calling up dudes and arranging lunches and arranging social things. Let's go do this. Let's go do that. I'm going to show up for life. I believe that it's part of tradition one, that it's my duty to participate in life. Personal recovery depends upon unity, and that means the group of the country that we're living in, the world that we're living in. So when I participate in that top line and I show up and have lunch with that friend, I'm telling myself that I'm worthy of friendship with others. and I'm reversing that mental pathway, and I'm ending that spiral of shame that continues the addiction for growing in me and getting stronger and stronger. I'm treating my addiction by stepping into the top lines. I'd love to talk about this more, but I'm out of time. Thanks for letting me share.